Turner. I don't have a friggin' intro like the nicknames.
Uh-oh. Stretch Man Fantastic. Shit. No, Project Pegasus.
Turner, I can't have you distracted by...
I know, I'm just looking at it real quick.
And man things. Hello and welcome to the WIP, the What If Podcast, that's a work in progress. I'm your host, General Ambrose Burnside, the Slim James, joined by Howard Beardface, the franchise, and of course, still on maternity leave, Andrew the Giant. I went and held his baby right before I came over here.
Oh,
they were watching Fuller House. Oh. It was terrible.
I saw the first episode of that. I haven't
gone yeah, back. I saw about, 10 minutes. That's all I need to see.
Oh, come on. Sit through the entire first episode, at least.
Yeah. It was like a ABC family sitcom, but with, like, network sitcom rules. They were doing shots in the club, but also it's, you know, corny-ass shit.
Yeah, I was really surprised at Stephanie Tanner. She wore a very revealing top for Full House.
Meth's a hell of a drug.
That's not my Full House.
I do like that she's DJ Tanner.
Right.
So that's about the only redeeming thing.
That was cool, because obviously that's a good DJ name.
Exactly. And
the British accent, though?
John Stamos, though, you know.
He's
like a TV George Clooney.
It was good. It was nice to see, like, him and Bob Saget were sort of smirking at each other when they first started, and you could tell they were sort of laughing at the inside.
Yes. Well, you know, Bob Saget secretly, like, oh, I fucking hate this shit. I need to go swear a lot and talk about jizz.
Oh, fucking shit.
I need to shock people with my horrendously obscene humor because I'm fucking Danny Tanner.
He's the Dennis Rodman of sitcoms.
Sure. So anyway, Ambrose Burnside, Howard Beardface, us generals, we're talking about the Civil War.
Of course. I mean, we could have been Joshua Chamberlain.
Yes, that's true. Repping Maine. Indeed, you know. He saved the Union by friggin' the hill there. And
yep.
I went to Gettysburg.
Yeah.
It was okay.
It was a burg.
The Lincoln Diner there. Primo. All the greatest breakfast stuff you can get. And good cheap diner prices.
It's also real close to Hershey Park.
Oh.
Just go over there and get some free chocolate.
Well, in the butt stuff, Tanner? Huh? Yeah. Is that what you're
referring to? That's what I'm referring to. Well, in the Civil War, there weren't a lot of women, so...
Exactly.
The enlisted men may do.
Yeah, in Pennsylvania, there's a place known as the Hershey Highway. But yeah, so the Marvel Civil War. And guess what? Oh, they're making a movie about it, kinda, sorta.
Right.
And guess what? It has 67 goddamn characters.
That's it?
Each more developed than the last. You'll know everyone's motivation and what they think about stuff.
I hope there's an origin for each one.
Black Widow's there. She wants to have sex with Hulk, probably.
And is Hulk going to be in this one? I thought he was sitting out on Civil War.
Yeah, I think that he's going to be in Ragnarok.
Oh, yeah.
And we're not getting a Planet Hulk, so it's just going to be him fighting people in Ragnarok.
But maybe he'll wear gladiator stuff anyway.
See, there you go. That's all you need. And we got Black Panther.
He's there.
Uh-huh. I'm sure they'll mention, like, oh, isn't it crazy? Got the vibranium. Make me another shield.
Claw!
Yes, Ulysses Claw. He could be showing up because
Ulysses
he was
Grant.
His crayons?
No, Ulysses Grant.
Oh. Oh. It all comes back.
And Stonewall. Actually, Crusher Creel, the Absorbing Man, has a son whose code name is Stonewall.
There you go. So is that in, like, Spider-Girl or something?
No,
or?
It's in the Secret Warriors. It was like a Nick Fury offshoot little comic where he had a bunch of secret guys like Phobos, the God of Fear.
With Sky and Lincoln from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
No, it wasn't Sky. It was always Daisy.
Needs more Lincoln, Sky.
Lincoln was not around.
Needs more eyeless guy who can teleport.
That guy's awesome.
Yeah, maybe we get some Bill Foster, huh? He dying. Could be Ant-Man's black friend.
That gets killed. I mean, are they still going to kill him? Are they going to have a robot Thor? I doubt it.
I don't think that's making it in.
Probably not, because that would involve the Fantastic Four, who played a huge part in the Marvel Civil War, but obviously won't be there in the movie.
Yes. But yeah, like seriously, the clone throwers would be way too confusing and out of nowhere for. Wait, what? Because as it is, it's still all like, what are you talking about when I'm reading these recaps of the Civil War?
Yeah.
Why is there a robot Thor?
Well, because Thor was dead at that time, and Tony Stark had kept a hair from Thor from the very first Avengers meeting. Oh. The very first ever.
Jarvis, get me some hair.
Jarvis, what is this blonde hair?
Oh, there we go, so. Hey, speaking of Jarvis, Agent Carter, it sure was, man.
I still don't watch Agent
Carter. The whole thing was a bit flat, you know? Yeah. I liked Agent Carter the first season, but this, I don't know, the villain was stupid. There was a... It's set up for a third season, because Chad Michael Murray, Agent Jack Thompson, he got shot. And Mafia, or secret subterfugious shadow organization in the MCU? Empire? And the whole finale to Agent Carter is, I'm going to form S.H.I.E.L.D. Because
that's where it's
leading. Yeah, that's the resolution. So, yeah, it's like lowest ratings ever for the finale. And the CG good. In it was fucking terrible.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, and Jesus goddamn Christ. They had like, they introduced like three new background flunky characters who are already spun off of Agent Carter, who's like a tertiary Avengers character. And none of them could die in the end. Like, you couldn't have anyone be like, what?
They have Pinky?
No.
Any more of the Howling Commandos? Like, actual people that existed in the comics?
No. No, just some scientist guy and a floating black doctor. Because he got possessed by the Dark Force. None of these people were Blackout, which was bullshit. And he didn't become Cloak, which should have been the natural resolution to that.
So he's Doorman?
Oh my god. Yes, it's all setting up for Doorman, Agent Carter, Season 3. And see, this second season she went to friggin' Hollywood. Next season, Minneapolis, baby. Mr. Immortal's there in the 50s.
Alright, and this might segue into the next thing you wanted to talk about, but I think the GLA would work well in the next Deadpool movie.
Yes.
Ridiculous characters that Deadpool could have some wacky hijinks with. And
unfortunately, they can't use the name Avengers.
Right, so that, well...
Well, the whole thing, there's a joke that they could not be legally allowed to have a name.
Yeah.
So they have a fucking terrible name.
So, and they have gone by the Great Lakes X-Men, which they could do with Deadpool.
Uh-huh.
Or the Great Lakes Invaders.
Uh-huh.
Or Champions, because I think they won that name from the thing in a poker tournament.
Uh-huh.
They're like, yes, we can call ourselves the Champions.
Yes.
Ooh.
So yeah, that's actually good. Although I don't think that Fox owns the rights to those characters. So
no, probably not.
They first appeared in West Coast Avengers number 46.
That's true.
So, you know, Marvel owns them, and they're not going to let them go for anything.
Damn it.
We got Taskmaster, we got GLA. You ain't getting shit, Deadpool.
Except Negasonic Teenage Warhead.
Yes.
Who really was a character. I had to look it up because I had never heard of her before that movie.
Yeah, I'm just a teenage dirtbag, baby. But yeah, segueing into Deadpool, it was good and a fair representation of Deadpool.
Yeah.
Ergo, it might be a bit tiresome after a while for some.
Well, I think it's a smart move next time pulling in Cable, because he's a good foil for Deadpool. I mean, they're complete opposites. They have different agendas.
He's the straight shooter, and he's Mr. Merc with a mouth.
Whoa, wacky, wacky.
Exactly. They can be a buddy cop.
Right, and I think that's what it would be. It would be
Deadpool
like a buddy movie,
black.
And be rated R again.
Uh-huh.
It's the biggest R-rated movie release ever now.
Even bigger than American Pie 2.
Whoa! Yeah, I saw it like past the Matrix Revolutions or whatever the second Matrix was.
Resolutions.
Oh, was that it? Revelations?
Resolutions.
Renaissance.
Exactly. And so, yeah, it's R-rated and got the swears. It was a bit much on the fuck. He just said fuck because they were just getting it out for all the other times. Like, you wanted Wolverine to just say fuck.
Yeah.
Or Storm, fuck. Gene, fuck me. Storm. Storm, fuck Gene. Get out of here, Slim. Fuck you.
Fuck off. So, Chuck. Fuck Chuck.
Yeah. So,
it was good meta jokes, though. Good, like, you know, making fun of the fact that, oh, this mansion seems empty and I only ever see you two. It's almost like the studio couldn't afford another X-Men.
No, fourth wall. Yeah, it was all pretty good. And I liked it. You know, that said, with the Deadpool and the so many goddamn jokes, I get like, all right, Jesus Christ, take a breath. Yeah. And then also, I hate going to movies and hearing people laugh at every fucking joke, because I'm a chuckle quietly to myselfer, and they're like, oh, the opening credits is funny, it's a spoof, ah, ha, ha. Every fucking one, like, I get the fucking joke. Like,
yeah.
Oh. So people are the worst. It's pretty much people that I hate.
Right. It would be a great movie to watch at home alone.
Yes, with Macaulay Culkin.
Yeah.
Because that's always where he is.
Yeah, he probably is. Right now. Listening to this.
So we were talking about Wolverine saying fuck a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Old Man Logan, Wolverine 3. It might be R-rated stuff.
Yeah, and that'd be cool.
Yes.
I love the Old Man Logan original storyline by Bendis. Came out a few years ago. I have the whole thing. It's great. I mean, we have talked before this.
What?
Just about some of the characters that can't get in. Because Hawkeye is a huge role in Old Man Logan. And yes. So is the Red Skull.
Yes.
Obviously, we can't have them.
And no.
Hulk. Can't have him.
Yeah. So, the concept Old Man Logan sounds good for me. It's going to be need to be adapted.
Yeah.
I don't even know if you're going to get white-haired Logan. He might just be Gray Temple's Logan.
It's no, the there's future. Too many Gray Temple. Like, Reed Richards is Gray Templed, Stephen Strange is Gray Templed. I can't have all these Gray Templed men. It's too confusing.
Well, the latest Fantastic Four, he wasn't Gray Templed Reed Richards. He was 16-year-old.
That's true.
So, don't worry about that. But, like, I don't know if you're going to get old, white-haired Hugh Jackman. He's going to be Gray Templed, so it's the future now. Because it also can't be, like, 100 years in the future, or 50 years.
Well, it's supposed to be 50.
It's going to be, like, 25 in the intermediate future, and you can tell it's the intermediate future because Wolverine has gray temples. Yeah, days of future is pasting all over the place.
He would only have a little bit of gray.
Well, in theory, extrapolating how old he was, he shouldn't have aged at all. But
true.
Yeah, so we got some characters that are owned by Marvel. So this is already going to be adapted, much like the Civil War is going to be adapted. It's not the same storyline. It's
right.
Just sort of taking some of the concepts and giving you a movie about it.
Well, I just hope the new Warriors blow up a school.
If we could get some Speedball, just some Speedball, we're like,
Speedball,
God
through the
damn
movie.
It, Speedball. And he's the one who gets shit on all the time. This asshole!
And then maybe he can become Penance. Oh, great. That'll be a nice, fun character arc to sit through.
No, there's not going to be any character arcs in Civil War Turner. There's 67 characters.
But isn't it going to be two parts?
No, that's the fucking...
The Infinity one?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's just going to be, I'm wagging my finger at you, Iron Man. Oh, I'm Tony Stark. I've got a quip, even though I think, fuck you.
I want to punch you in your perfect teeth.
Exactly.
And then I want to kiss you in
so
your perfect teeth.
So that's going to be the story arc, them just scissoring.
Yeah. It does look cool, though. I do like the scene where, and I haven't watched all the previews of it, but I like the scene when Bucky and Cap are kicking the shit out of Iron Man.
Yeah.
That looks good.
Yeah, I've seen it. This is a little bit of the trailer. Good stuff.
Will Captain America die? And Bucky steps up and takes his place?
I think that type of stuff will be reserved for the Infinity War.
You think that's where they'll hold it for?
Yeah. Like, oh, Captain America sacrifices himself to save the universe. And now you've either got Sam Wilson or Sebastian
Shaw,
who's like, I'm going to be Captain America now. And Chris Evans can retire.
Yeah.
But then he comes back, maybe. Or we get
a different superhero.
We get U.S. Agent.
No, what he should do is go to, let's see, Fantastic Four is Fox.
Uh-huh.
And then he's played Captain America now.
So he should go to an X-Men movie.
Right.
He can play Gambit in Old Man Logan.
That's Channing.
Channing Tatum.
All over that Tatum.
Exactly. But yeah, I don't know what's going to happen with Civil War. What I was talking about was Old Man Logan.
Yes.
And the circumventation of the characters Marvel owns. So you could get maybe Gambit for Hawkeye. Those are sort of similar characters. I don't know if you're going to get Channing Tatum in there. Although, they're going to release the Gambit movie this year, right? And they haven't started anything with Old Man Logan. So I guess that could work.
It could. I haven't seen like anything about the Gambit movie.
I think it's coming in the fall.
Okay.
But here's who's to say. But they're, you know, they're both... Rogues, Mavericks. I gotta try to stop naming X-Men. They're both strong guys.
They're multiple men.
Well, that's funny you should mention that. How about Wendigo as a substitute for the Hulk? I know what you're thinking, but Jim, there's only one Wendigo.
That is what I was thinking.
Except in the Universe X, part of the Earth X trilogy.
Yep.
They're like, oh, there's swarms of Wendigo running around. It's because Multiple Man ate one of his bodies. because he was starving, and there's not a lot of meat left on that Earth because the climate shifted, because all the celestial core exploded and the Terrigen missed. But the point of that is that he became multiple Wendigo.
Oh, God.
So you could have this thing where it's like, there's multiple Wendigo running the entire West Coast from California up to Nova Scotia. Nope, not Nova Scotia. British Columbia. Mm.
But would that have the same? Because the Hulks were like their Wolverine's landlords. I don't know if the Wendigos have enough intelligence to sort of run.
Yeah, I was just thinking more big giant monsters that would try to eat him.
Right, you know? Maybe Blob.
Oh, there you, yeah, but incestuous blobs. Blob and Big Bertha. Yeah. Oh, they don't own.
She is an ex. They are mutants, though. All of the GLA are mutants.
But are they, or are they inhumans? Terrigen Mist.
Damn it, Terrigen.
Yeah. I mean, so, like, yeah, it's not the same character dynamic. It would change it. It would be a neat story to cram in there, and it's a little R-rated in that he's a cannibal. Yeah. So, you know, different.
It'd be interesting to see who they put in the Big Bad instead of Red Skull.
Dr. Doom, because Fox owns the Fantastic Four characters.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, that would make sense, because he's a big guy for it. Yeah. Like, Magneto wouldn't, because then anytime Wolverine comes by, oh, I'm just going to use my powers, you're dead.
Fling
you out into space.
But what if he gets his bones pulled out, and he's 1996 feral Wolverine with no nose and the pirate bandana on? Yeah. That's what they need in Old Man Logan.
That, no one will pay to see. Feral Wolverine.
Yeah. Batman versus Superman. Eh?
I have no interest in seeing that at all. I probably will at some point, but I'm not going to go in theaters.
There you go.
Maybe I'll rent it.
Olivia Munn is Psylocke's ass. And there's a movie, probably, too.
Oh, yeah.
She posts a picture. And yeah, I'm like, yeah.
I'll watch that movie, of course.
I'm like, I wish I was a 14-year-old boy so that I could just be like, and not have to worry about everything else in life.
Psylocke's ass.
Because, well, that's a fair representation of the character. Because if you look at any 1992 X-Men books, it's Psylocke's ass, and then there's some other stuff going on.
And sometimes her back is twisted around, so you can see her face and her ass at the same time.
Yes, and it's like the size of a quarter around.
Right.
Good 90s.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, this is all sprung from the Marvel Civil War movie talk, which I'm excited to see. It's, like, in March? No, April? Maybe?
May 6th.
May 6th.
I think.
One of those M months.
Mm.
And guess what? There was a Marvel Civil War, which was all based off of.
What?
And because there was a big, giant crossover, there was a what-if issue.
What?
So, thanks to the setup in the issue, I have a concise recap of the Civil War.
Oh, I know it, because I have the actual event Civil War.
All right,
this was back in the days when I would collect. I was reading all the Avengers stuff, so I have, like, the Civil War, the House of M, the World War Hawks, the Secret Invasion, all these big events that they kept coming out
well,
with.
Well, then those, the what-ifs that we do, then you'll be primed to go. All right.
I have some of those what-ifs, because I was like, oh, it's sort of like a tie-in to the story. I'm going to buy it.
Yeah, and I buy all what-ifs ever, because it's got the podcast.
And it's paid off.
Exactly. It's just like this Civil War issue is maybe it's up in value a tiny bit because like, oh, there's a movie coming out. Or yeah. People are just speculating on eBay. Either way. And then also the What If Thor was, or Jane Foster picked up the Hammer of Thor from the first series of What Ifs.
Oh, they're like, oh, now she is.
Yeah, Thor. Oh, it's technically the first parent. So that's like, oh, it went from a $4 book to a $10 book.
Nice.
There's my retirement. It's actually weird, though, because like, some of these What Ifs have actually shot up in value. Because like, all the time I was collecting them, it's, you know.
Quarter bins.
Quarter bin, $4 at most.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I just got to hold out hope that they'll make a 2099 movie. Someone will make it. Spider-Man 2099? X-Men 2099? Doom 2099? I mean, there's so many possibilities.
Actually, yeah. If, you know, Marvel or Fox runs out of stuff, they can make X-Men 2099. And there's some guy playing Wolverine. And future that guy who looks like Gambit, but he's runs fast.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I mean, they're Red Wing Man. Oh, they're absolutely. Awful. So let's make up some new ones.
But Doom 2099.
That would actually be pretty cool if he was running a dystopian future society. And
yep.
There's some heroes floating around. And you could have some of the shitty X-Men 2099.
Just to get killed off. Or...
Yeah. So anyway, so correct me where I'm wrong in the setup, because I was just sort of going off of what's in the issue.
And sure, sure.
Hulk attacks Vegas. So Congress be like, we need a superhero registration act. Then Iron Man goes to talk to Congress.
Yeah.
And they're like, okay, we'll chill off. But then Nitro, the man that killed Captain Mar-Vell for real, exploded real quick and took out a school in Stamford, Connecticut. Well, the New Warriors sucked in his general direction.
Yeah, so the New Warriors had the reality TV show where they would go around America trying to get bad guys. And so they were doing it for ratings, and like you could, there was a whole setup of them. Oh, there's the guys. Oh, but we got to get our cameras ready. And name Rita, go put on more makeup because you have a zit. And just jackassery.
Wah, wah. So, yeah, Namorita, Night Thrasher, and Microbe, yet not Microbe, they all died and have stayed dead, I think?
I believe so.
Yeah, so it reconfirms that Nitro is the greatest villain in history. See our Oh Captain, My Captain episode 30.
That's right.
For how he killed Captain Mar-Vell. He's actually killed characters who stayed dead. So, did Nitro die in that explosion?
No, because that's part of his power. He can pull himself back together.
There you go.
And then he hitched a ride out and Wolverine tracked him down.
There you go.
Side story.
So the Superhero Registration Act goes full force. Iron Man's like, it seems like a good idea. And Cap's like, personal freedoms.
And this is actually to what leads into World War Hulk. Because that attack in Vegas, they trick Hulk into going to fix the space station up, and then they send him away.
Ah. So yeah, the Iron Man's pro-government, and Cap's like pro-freedom because he's vaguely in favor of freedom, even though it's never really defined what he's actually talking about. They take sides. Bill Foster dies at the hands of a clone Thor. Spider-Man reveals his identity. There's some Iron Spider. A bunch of stuff happens, etc., etc. Eventually, Cap realizes it's not worth it, and we get some of the initiative. Is that?
Yeah, so the Iron Man starts the initiative before the Civil War even ends.
Yep.
Just as to train all the young heroes, and it's full tons and tons of people. I got pretty much that whole run.
Omega Flight, Beta Flight, Midwest Avengers 2.
Horrible people. Every state has its own team of washed up.
Greater crap. Wyoming Avengers.
But yeah, it's okay. Yeah, but at the end, they're fighting, and then they teleport out of this collapsing building, and so they're fighting like in the middle of New York City, and all these people jump on Captain America as he's pummeling Iron Man. He's like, oh my gosh, the public isn't with me. What have I done? We're just fighting. This doesn't solve anything. I surrender.
Yeah, and then just tack on a little Fallen Son. He got killed real quick. And his brain went to 1602 or something, is my understanding.
Well, yeah, like traveled through time and became very convoluted.
Yeah.
Very fast.
So, this issue, does it actually take place in 616?
It looks like it.
Tony Stark is at Cap's grave after that whole Fallen Son thing where he got shot in the head. A mysterious, creepy figure, It's a Wonderful Life sim, and shows him what it would be like if other things happened instead.
Yeah, I was very confused. This was one of the first what-ifs that I bought because I liked the Civil War series. And I didn't get that it was the Watcher at first. Like, I know the font for his talking is the Watcher's font, but to me it looked more like an Asgardian. And I was like, who the hell is this guy that's coming up to Tony and just being a creepo in the graveyard?
Well, you know, the modern what-ifs, they don't have Uatu just standing there going, welcome, reader, let me tell you about tales from a different thing. It's always presented as a little sly.
Right. Check out my humongous head. As we dive deep into another universe.
Yes. So, the first thing he shows him. What if Iron Man died so Captain America had to do the Civil War by himself? Iron Man gets Extremis.
But his fight clubs himself?
In this reality, Extremis, instead of giving Gwyneth Paltrow superpowers, it kills Tony Stark. Without a strong superhero on the government side, Captain America leads all the superheroes against the government. Henry Peter Gyrick introduces the Sentinels into the mix, and then Sentinels with pilots to guilt Captain America into stopping fighting, because he's like, oh, I'm killing people now.
Whoa, I've been in a war, but I can't kill someone.
Exactly, except if there's a Nazi and you're going through a plane propeller.
Right.
And then Henry Peter Gyrick says, I've got some Thor clones too, a whole legion of them.
Yeah, and I've seen legions of Thor clones before in the Avengers Forever storyline, where it was like an alternate universe where this squadron of Thor clones, like, destroyed all life in the entire galaxy. They just went around pretty much whooping ass.
Yeah, see, the whole thing is that Thor always holds back in his fights with mortals, but these clones, even if they're not as strong as Thor, they're not holding back, so it sort of evens out.
Right.
So you're just fighting a bunch of Thors. In the whole skirmish, Captain America puts on the Iron Patriot armor because it looks cool, essentially, and it's a what-if. A few heroes are killed, notably the Invisible Woman. And Reed Richards stretches his face in anguish.
And Spider-Man.
Spider-Man gets killed?
Yep.
Well, it's a what-if, so it's a 50-50 chance.
Chest.
Oh, yeah.
No!
James Rhodes is looking around. Then the Thor clone, Prime, the leader of the Thor clones, he kills Cap while a mysterious figure kills Rhodey. It was Maria Hill. Oh, my God. Not Colby Smulders. And Henry Peter Gyrick rides a wave of momentum to the presidency while telling people Cap went into hiding to undermine the whole resistance, I think. And it sort of ends detached and, like, it's a dystopia.
That sucks.
Yep. And then the other tale.
The heartbreaking one.
Yes. What if Captain America and Iron Man were cool about the whole thing?
You know, like they had been friends for decades and had had each other's back and probably shared horrible secrets and even traveled down that Hershey Highway together.
hey, that's just cheap jokes, Turner. Come on. Well, this is a classy podcast. So, Cap, rather than using a cool joy buzzer to fuck up Iron Man, which is sort of what got the whole Civil War thing started, he doesn't because Iron Man was like a little more honest and forthright while talking to Cap. So the compromise, Iron Man suggests Captain America be the Registration Act. He knows all the secrets. He's in charge. So all the superheroes are accountable to him, because he's great.
And that makes sense. I mean, who is the one superhero that all the other superheroes would be like, yeah, I trust you.
Doctor Strange.
Obviously. Howard the Duck.
He's above it all. The one above all. Oneg the Prober. Traveling down that Hershey Highway. Yeah, so Captain America being the Registration leads to the Avengers being co-sponsored by the government, sort of like a quasi-The Initiative, where the Avengers train new heroes and organize them all. We get Idaho Defenders. Cap and Iron Man share a special moment with T, just to twist the knife in the real Tony's guts as we go back to the real world, which I wish it would still stop hassling me, you know, as Matchbox 20 would say. Yeah. Luckily, Cap's alive and in 1602 or something in this universe, kinda. So, it all works out in the end, right? We got that great limited series. 1602 was fine.
1602 was good. I like that.
Might do a bonus episode somewhere down the line.
I have them all. Like,
yeah, me too. Yeah. I was like, oh, neat. And then I read it and was like, okay. So, overall, I like the Christmas Carol / Wonderful Life presentation.
Yep.
It's a unique setup for the What If. The stories aren't bad, but the first story lacks an ending, because, like, you don't even get this, like, dread utopia. It's just sort of like Henry Peter Gyrick's there, and it just sort of ends.
The end?
Not even at the end. It's just like, am I missing a page? Like, and the second story lacks real drama. It just literally answers the question, what if Captain America and Iron Man worked together?
They would have worked together.
Yeah, and it's, you know, I guess the whole thing is that it's supposed to twist the knife in Tony's guts, but, like, as the what-if story itself is very bland.
Because I have, with The Fallen Sun, there's a couple times when it twists the knife again into Tony.
Because the U.S. agent shows up and he's like, no, go away, you remind me of that time Captain America was just the captain. And I had my red and white. No!
Go away! And then Jack Flag shows up. No. Oh! Ghosts of Captain's past, why have you come to haunt me so?
Spirit! There's still time! I haven't missed Christmas! Yeah, so the art in the Tony Stark bumpers is good and moody. Mm-hmm. The beginning and end and stuff. The art in the first story is a bit wonky.
Yeah.
It's okay if you want to do it in a cartoony style. And the first Mr. Fantastic contorts his face thing, it's okay because he's made of rubber. If you want to go there.
Sure.
Okay. But then the Human Torch and Thing, who are decidedly less stretchy, also do that.
Especially Thing.
Yeah.
Very unstretchy.
Yeah. Maybe it's a Fantastic Four thing. Unstable molecules in their face. Yeah, it leaked into their face. And so
Space Phantom.
Yeah. A what if Civil War could have gone several directions, and I think it would have been better to have the first story go the length of a whole book, dig into this dystopia a little more.
Yeah.
You know, oh, we get the ending where, oh, it's a new super team formed and they're fighting these Sentinels.
Well, this was back before, because I know in the recent events they've done like 5 what ifs for an event instead of just.
You've made my point for me, Turner.
Oh, well, I try.
You know, given they're prone to spitting out 4 or 5 what ifs at a time for the last few go rounds, you could have, you know, what if Bill Foster didn't die?
Then he'd still be around.
Or, yeah, the one I wrote down, what if giant Bill Foster travels back to 1602 instead of Captain America?
Whoa, a giant black man in 1602? Yikes!
Get the sugar trade and the triangle there.
Yeah, triangle trade.
Exactly.
Sugar, molasses, rum, slave.
seems like a quadrilateral, but oh, the sugar is the rum. The molasses is the rum because
they're all the same, right?
Yeah,
well, sugar to make molasses and molasses to make rum.
Yeah,
there's something else we might be missing. It's been a few years since middle school social studies.
Has it?
Well, I could walk down the hall at work, I guess.
There it is. So, the basic premise of the whole Civil War thing is that Iron Man is a big sellout to the government.
Mm-hmm.
So we ask ourselves in What If Volume 2, Issue 64, what if Iron Man sold out to the government?
We'd have the Civil War.
It's a different thing. Rather than become a hero, Tony goes all Justin Hammer and immediately sells his technology to the government, producing a police state that's half dystopia, half utopia. Not a lot of crime, but it's a police state. Yeah. We open with the Sinister Six getting their asses handed to them to the Iron Men, the Iron Core, which is like the center of the Earth. But oh man, despite their existing in Iron Core, there are still villains abound, notably the Beetle, who's like, I've got a suit of armor too.
With the suction cup fingers?
No, not original Beetle. This is a second gen Beetle.
Mach 2.
Exactly. Spider-Man, who is retired because of the Iron Core, he suddenly feels his damned responsibility sense kicking in.
Damn it.
He's like, I gotta save the world from people who may very possibly one day have access to technology that's kind of like the Iron Man suit.
So kill everyone so no one can have that power?
Exactly. That's his...
With great power.
For you, Uncle Ben. I did it for you, Ben. I did it for you. So, meanwhile, James Rhodes is looking for Tony Stark, who's gone full recluse. I think he regrets his whole role he played in creating the police state with a Cold War arms race of armor. And he fears he might get kidnapped, and he might have to dedicate his remaining days to staying one step ahead of people who are making super armor. So he's basically gone nuts. He's Howard Hughes'd it.
Great.
The heat is on him for...
Heat is on...
Whoa. As a... Is that the... Eddie Murphy.
Yeah.
not he didn't sing it. It's from like Miami or Beverly Hills Cop or whatever, I think. Yeah. One of those Judge Reinhold movies. So the heat is on for Jim Rhodes as heads of Rhodes Stark Company, or whatever the hell it's called. They're breathing down his neck. Mr. Fantastic, who has a Baron Strucker monocle and this kind of a dick and a cigarette holder thing.
Really?
Yeah, he's like, get me my robots, Jim Rhodes.
So did they not become the Fantastic Four in this universe?
Well, they show in like a few flashbacks of the Watcher showing Peter Parker this reality that Doctor Doom had some armor, too, so he was more badass, so the Fantastic Four are less fantastic.
Oh.
So, meanwhile, Magneto is sick of all this shit, so he decides to take over the world.
Yeah, it sounds like Magneto.
He has some flunkies, including a Cannonball.
Really? Cannonball's working for Magneto?
Yep, as Oasis would want. So, Spider-Man hunts down Doctor Strange, who, along with the Watcher, tells us the fate of the heroes in this world. With no Iron Man, the Avengers aren't formed, so Cap remains buried in ice. Thor is chilling in Asgard.
Mm-hmm.
And Hawkeye is probably selling corn dogs at a state fair, because he's a stupid carny. Daredevil and Elektra are chilling in the Mediterranean.
Well, good for them.
And Punisher's family was never killed, so he's just a PTSD war veteran on his own.
So Iron Man killed Punisher's family?
No, the Iron Core prevented street crime, so they didn't get killed. And somewhere, Thomas Jane weeps for the lack of a Punisher.
Again. It's like in our universe.
Exactly. So some proto-redesigned X-Men show up to oppose Magnet Man.
Yeah, they include Cyclops...
A weird-looking Wolverine, as well as Cyclops with his visor jammed into his head for some reason.
True Cyclops.
Sexy Boom Boom and Sexy Dazzler.
Well, and is Dazzler ever not sexy?
No, she's pretty good. And Maverick. And Gambit. So maybe you get Maverick to shuttle Old Man Logan across the... I don't know who that is. Is that Forge? Might be Forge in there, too.
Yep, okay.
Yeah, he never does anything, so it doesn't really matter.
And Sienna Blaze? Who the fuck is
I guess that's who I thought Boom Boom was, but it's... Imagine sexy Boom Boom, and it's the same thing.
Okay.
The mutant brouhaha leads to the president deploying the Sentinels.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God, dystopia! It's just like the first one we read. The Civil War thing.
Yep.
So, big showdown with the X-Men, Spider-Man and his amazing friends, which are Daredevil, Elektra, Thor, Wasp, and maybe Dr. Pym? That big giant guy is never mentioned by name, but he's like 10 feet tall and blonde.
And he's with Janet.
Yeah. I reread it twice, and they never say Henry.
Hank.
Yeah, and Ironbot, who is Tony Stark remote controlling the dopest Iron Man suit he owns.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. So they all go against Magneto and throw in some Sentinels, too. It's just a big cluster of people, I think.
But this guy, this big blonde guy, does say, as a scientist, I'm somewhat loath to admit I've missed this when he's pounding the ground.
Yes. He's never referred to by name, so it's like, what the hell? Iron Man remote controls, or Tony Stark remote controls the Iron Man suit from his cave, and he resists Magneto's magnetism and smushes him.
Smush.
Sentinel production is stopped, and Spider-Man leads a team of Avengers, but they're not called the Avengers, because the Avengers were never formed, so he's just like, Earth's Mightiest Heroes, assemble.
Lame.
Yeah. So, this is prime what-if territory.
Oh, yeah.
We get some character redesigns. You know, we got a badass Henry Pym, apparently. Cyclops with his visor in his head. Dope Iron Man bot. We get a slight dystopia feeling. Some big battle. It involves a lot of Spider-Man, despite this not being his story.
But when did this come out?
92, 3, there you 4. Go. Yeah. It's a bit 90s, but it's not too obnoxious. And the art is good for that, being that 90s, everyone grimaces look. It's not too bad. So there are a couple of pages formatted sideways, and it seems like they're going the wrong way. But I admire them for breaking the mold a little bit in how they're presenting it.
It does seem weird, though.
Yeah. A surprisingly okay find in these swaths of what-ifs I haven't yet read. So I'll take it. Because I'm going to look at this and I'm like, blah. But then, not bad. And it's why I like what-ifs. So, Turner, you looking forward to the Civil War?
I am. Though I know that Marvel recently did a new Civil War with the Battle Worlds. There was a Battle World Civil War, so I don't know if this movie is supposed to be more like that Civil War or the old Civil War.
No, those Battle World things were just like alternate universes, weren't they?
Yeah, but they all became the new universe, like patchwork together, and this character from, like, this universe is now in the main universe.
Patch Adams.
Yes, he's alive again.
So yeah, I'm holding Marvel Age number 75, mm-hmm. only 50 cents, and it has about when they revive the What Ifs for Volume 2.
There's big demand?
Apparently. Well, let's see. So, more recently, we saw what would happen if Iron Man worked for the Communists in last year's What If One-Shot Special. And that story proved to be so successful, we've all heard of it, we all own our copy. I mean, I do.
I've wallpapered my bedroom with it.
Yeah. It's so successful that next month you'll be getting a brand new dose of What If each and every month. Oh my god.
And the second series went on for a while too, right?
Yeah, it was like 114 issues. 115, because there was a minus one in there as well.
What? Was there a zero?
No. Oh, that we're missing it. Or a one half special edition from Wizard.
Yep.
Yeah, so even they were cognizant at the time of how a lot of these stories end up. Marvel Age says, most issues will feature a full-length 26-page story, or 28. Some stories will contain a 20-page lead story with a short backup. As Craig explains, the backup stories will be a short, happy-ending stories. Things like, what if Scott Summers and Jean Grey lived happily ever after? A lot of the time, the consequences of what-if stories are pretty depressing, so these stories will be a counterpoint.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, dystopia, Spider-Man dies.
There was
a Captain America was revived today, and he's sad about that.
I will say, suicide rates went up when what-ifs were published. You can look it up. It's scientific fact.
It's science. And then this Marvel Age 75 also features Eyepatch Doctor Strange. So
nice.
Good stuff.
Love me some Eyepatch Strange.
Well, we'll see you just around the river bend. So in closing, I will remind you to follow us on Twitter at TheSlimJames or at Giant_Size, TheSlimJames.com, GiantSizeComicThings.com, the WIP What If Podcast is on iTunes, on Stitcher, on YouTube, and on Vimeo. So go out there and find us. And remember, don't spend the rest of your life asking, what if?